Scripture reading this morning comes from Psalms 19, verses 7 through 14. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than the honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. Who could understand his errors? Cleanse me from secret faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless, and I shall be innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer.
Certainly good to see each one present this morning. Of course, it's already been noted both in the prayer and comments made at the outset with the welcome that we are experiencing some weather-related incidences around and some trouble sometimes getting around some of the flooding areas. Some of our members have certainly been handicapped considerably, and some were not able to be here this morning as a result of some of the things that they're experiencing. And certainly we also have some that have health issues and thus not able to be with us. We want to keep those in our prayers and our thoughts and do the things we can to help one another, to assist one another. We have visitors in the audience, and we certainly want you to know that you're our honored guests. We're glad you've come our way and trust that as we've assembled together to worship God, you will be benefited and built up, and the time that we have together to praise His name and to be able to be strengthened through a knowledge of His Word. This morning I'm going to be looking at the subject of purpose of VBS, and our VBS is coming up shortly, and we're going to look at some things associated with that and why we have a VBS, what's the purpose behind it, and how it can benefit us, and think of along those lines and what we find in Scriptures as it relates to that particular subject. Before that, let me go ahead and make reference to the fact that we are going to also have, after our services this evening, after the closing prayer, Dennis Westbrook is going to come up and bring us up to date on some things about the building. We are looking to have an expansion on the building, and he'll explain this more fully when he gets up here, but just as a prefacing of this point, he's going to make some comments because we also have to have then the from the bank, from the standpoint of our being able to secure a loan, there has to be some formality to an arrangement, and say that has to be done, so we're going to be doing that. So I'm going to shorten my lesson a little bit to accommodate that, so that we can get that period of time that Dennis needs in order to inform us about these matters and to bring us up to speed as it relates to our physical building program. From the standpoint of the VBS, then, and just as, again, some preliminary comments, let's look at the purpose of VBS. It's a microcosm of the work of the church. It struck me when I was kind of thinking about some of these matters that how, if you look at what we do and what our purpose behind the VBS, and then you think about the work of the church and its expanded aspect as it relates to Scripture and what the Word of God has to say about the subject, we can really kind of look at the VBS and make that observation and see how that fits into the overall scheme of what the church is supposed to be engaged in doing. I want to also notice some things. The theme for this year is serving God in one's youth. So that's going to be the focus. And our classes, there are classes for every age group that we've got set up and be going through this. We'll be looking at the various ones specifically. The lessons are going to focus upon those individuals and their youth serving God, and things we can glean from that: Joseph, Samuel, David, Josiah, Jesus. So each night of the VBS, it's going to be, as noted in our materials, June 3rd through the 7th. It'll be in the evening at 7 o'clock. And for your information, I've put out today the auditorium class material for the VBS, and the that which has questions accompanying it so that you can be prepared. So when we start the VBS, as we come together, we'll be able to discuss these particular individuals and what we glean from them and learn as it relates to their serving the Lord. And very early in life, what they did in order to accomplish that. I might also make a note and reference the fact that in our auditorium class, which is comprised of a variety of individuals, some are younger than others. Of course, they have the students in the classrooms, but all the way up to some fairly older individuals of our number. And I'll let everybody kind of determine their own place where they fit in those categories. But as you look at this, one of the things we want to do, certainly there'll be those that would still in their youth or younger individuals, young people that'll be in the auditorium. But again, we kind of go through the middle age and up to the older age. Some of the questions that'll also involve what we're going to do in the auditorium class has to deal with things that we that are older, how we can help and assist those that are younger. And we'll notice this as you go through the material, as you're studying the material, you'll see that we'll highlight certain areas in which we find some information from God's Word that help us to understand our responsibilities as well and obligations. So that even if we think about this, say, well, I'm not young anymore, so how's this relevant to me? The fact is it is, because we have these duties and obligations as a congregation of the Lord's people. And how we interact with our young people and the things we can do as a congregation individually can have a major impact upon them. And I trust that we'll be able to see that, recognize it, and then be encouraged by how we can impact the lives of those around about us, whatever their age. And certainly this involves that and entails that. I want to look at the idea then of the VBS, after having made those observations, kind of look at some things with you. And I want to think about the background of VBS and some disclaimers. When I was, again, putting this together, some things that I hadn't initially thought about approaching in a particular way sort of kind of evolved. And among those things has to do with some of the background, how VBS has actually got started. Now, the VBS, it's almost self-explanatory, Vacation Bible School. By the vacation during the summertime, the vacation period of time. And so there's then this idea that the Bible and Bible study and Bible school being set forth there. So what I did through this looking at material and information, I found out that they at least have given some credence to the idea that there's a particular point in time in which these things became popular. And so I'll share this with you. And again, the reason for doing this is because I think there's some things we can glean from it as well that would be profitable for us to think about. The origins of Vacation Bible School can be traced back to Hopedale, Illinois in 1894. Sunday school teacher D.T. Miles, who also was a public school teacher, felt she was limited by time constraints in teaching the Bible to children. So she started a daily Bible school to teach children during the summer. And this is according to Wikipedia, and I looked at some other sources, and this seems to be fairly accepted as being the idea behind this, going back to that period of time in the latter 1800s, and some things then evolved from that. Began to look at it. And I share this with you because it sort of strikes me as it relates to this. I want to make a few observations in passing. The first thing is, it's both appropriate and scriptural to acknowledge God in our society. And I think as we start reflecting upon in our society today, what's the underlying biggest issue and greatest problem we have? People start looking at it from various perspectives, but from a biblical standpoint, it's the lack of God being in our society and being removed from our society. The fool says in his heart, there is no God, Psalm 14:1. It talks about righteousness, exalts the nation. Righteousness, where does that come from? What is right? It comes from God and His teaching and His instruction. We think about Romans 1:18 through 32, where it's described the situation in which people got further and further away from God. As they removed God from their lives and from the nations around that they were part of or the society in which they interacted, that we began to see a pattern. And the further God was removed, the greater the sins, the more reprehensible the behavior and conduct. And it concludes saying not only those who practice such things, that the consequences of these, but those who approve of it. That separates us from God, that very premise, and God being removed from our lives is detrimental. And it corrupts immorality is rampant, and we see that situation. So you think about this idea, well, the concept in the schools or these other places, what's being happening in our society as a whole, but the schools, we're removing God. Talk about how this is situation and the circumstances in the schools and disciplinary action and the problems associated with this, all kinds of other factors that are beginning to be observable more and more so. Even some of the teaching things that are emphasized that have to do with matters that actually go contrary to God's teachings and instructions. So the thought, the idea that God's removed from these various areas is not a healthy thing. We see it as, again, the detrimental and adverse impact. Having said that, I do want to make this observation. But we don't want public schools to teach the Bible to our children. It's important to understand the distinction there. God being a part of the realization of things, and the idea of morality being taught is just a matter of you don't steal and you don't lie and you behave yourself and there's expectations that are to be seen. But that's not, we don't want the teaching of the Bible per se and the idea of doctrine being advocated in schools. I don't want somebody taking my children when they're growing up in the school setting and begin to explain to them Scripture from their perspective and from their denominational viewpoint or from any humanistic standpoint as well, or taking away from what is the truth that we find in God's Word. You think about the various places in Scripture. Of course, in the Old Testament, the parents were given a specific responsibility to teach their children. And that's found over in Deuteronomy, where it goes through this on several places where the law has been reiterated, reminding them, you bring your children up, you learn the truth, and you present that to your children. You teach them constantly, ongoingly. Because in every situation, circumstance, you have the opportunity to present God's Word and how it impacts their life and how they apply it practically. You think about Abraham. When Abraham was told, in reference to Abraham, that he would raise his children in knowledge of God's will. Ephesians 6 and 4, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. The grandparent and mother, the grandmother and mother of Timothy, is singled out by the Apostle Paul for having raised him in a knowledge of truth and an awareness of the teaching that instilled in him a faith that made him prepared and ready for when the gospel plan of salvation was presented. He embraced that and then was a traveling companion and trustworthy in his responsibilities as an evangelist. So where does the responsibility and obligation principally, primarily lie for the teaching of God's Word? It's in the family. It's the parents raising up their children. The husband, the wife, grandparents, those that are Christians that have some influence upon those around about. That is the obligation. And if you think about it, I don't want to put, the children in school. I want the schools to respect God's principles, just like we think about the government. I don't want the government coming and teaching scriptures, but we don't want the government to respect God's teachings and principles. And there's the difference that I want us to emphasize or to be recognizing as it relates to this idea. So while God needs to be in our lives, God needs to be in our societies, the teaching of God's Word is the obligations we have in our family units and to reaching out to a lost and dying world. Let me take the next point here. Today, Vacation Bible School is a popular summer activity for Christians and non-Christians alike. Churches generally run Vacation Bible School for a week, and each program has its own theme: medieval castles, water parks, the Old West, etc. That children can explore. A week of VBS usually includes games, snacks, crafts, skits, and, of course, Bible lessons. That's from GodQuestions.org. This is one of these sites that you can go to. It's kind of a religiously connected thing. And so sometimes they have these questions and circumstances. So as I was doing this, I saw where they had something stated about this VBS. They also make a reference to that same point about the beginning point of VBS. And setting that aside, VBS, we'll point out VBS is a right thing to do. It's not unscriptural by any means. There's principles behind it that we can look to that make it right and appropriate. But let me say to you, this is not our VBS that's referred to here. This is not what we do. We're not going to engage in that type of thing. I mean, I'll qualify it. Like I said, there's some disclaimers, but I want us to recognize what the point of a VBS, to make it scriptural, and what we really are supposed to be doing. Remember, I began this by noting purpose of a VBS, and then kind of stated it's a microcosm of our work as a congregation of the Lord's people, the church, and what that work consists of. So what's wrong with that description? It's certainly what's prevalent. It's what you see around. More and more embrace this idea. It becomes something that is kind of captures the essence of how much fun and excitement, and let's get these things and just draw all these people together in there, and we'll do it through these various practices. And, you know, they're coming for the games, and they're looking forward to the snacks that we have, and we have skits, and we have this extended program. We have all these neat things to be done, and we'll slip in the Bible a little bit as we go along, kind of slide it in there. So that they'll recognize that, okay, we have this part of it. But it's not coincidental that the way that they approach this is kind of emphasize that other. That struck me very powerfully and strongly when I read that, because then, and of course, Bible lessons, as if that's tacking it on to the end. And a lot of people, that's the way they see it. That's the way they view this idea. So when you consider this, then our VBS, as with all aspects of the church's work, does not include social activities. Why? Because that's not what we're to do. That's not the work of the church. Entertainment activities, and you look at all these, the VBS sort of is a microcosm for a lot of denominations and religious groups, and even some that wear the name Church of Christ. That's what they kind of stress, is social things, entertainment. That's where they kind of their approach is to kind of attract people through that process. And then we're going to sneak the scriptures in on the side. We're going to kind of come up, sneak in behind them, and we're going to surprise them with the scriptures when we get them all involved and interactively thinking about this idea of what we're doing here together while we're having entertainment and social gatherings and all these extracurricular activities. Well, we find that there is a responsibility for social and entertainment, and that's within the family unit. So in 1 Corinthians 11, verses 21 and 22, when talking about assembling there in order to engage in worshipful activities, and they were to come together to partake of the Lord's Supper, as we see in Acts 20, verse 7, on the first day of the week, there's other things that are done in 1 Corinthians 14, which shows that singing praise to the Lord, which we've done as we approach Him in prayer, which is also what we've engaged in already, and things that are right and appropriate when we're assembled together. Teaching God's Word is instructions that are to be given, like we're doing at this point in time in our service. Giving back a portion of what we've been so bountifully blessed with is, again, something that was done for the members of the congregation, 1 Corinthians chapter 16. And then a little bit later, we're going to partake of the Lord's Supper. And that's explicitly being described there, and how they had turned it into some area of a social kind of function and an expanded meal. It says, don't you have homes to eat it in? Don't you? That's the place. The family, the contrast is the church, which is the people of the Lord coming together to engage in His activities, versus the family, which is the family unit and arrangement, which that then incorporates this idea of responsibilities that are being found there. So we teach the Bible. And so in this sense, we're doing the teaching and the proclamation and things that need to be emphasized. We talk about the family has the principal responsibility of teaching the children. But to teach is part of the obligation of the church, and to expressly set forth God's Word in a way that can be comprehended and understood, and be able then to have people throughout, you know, at various age groups, and various, as it relates to their spiritual point in life as far as their maturity, you know, as babes in Christ versus that of those who have been mature, that at every point can be benefited and built up, and people learn and are taught. Jesus over there when he was tempted of Satan, and Satan says, turn these stones to bread. And he says, man shall not live by bread alone. Man shall live by the word of God, not by bread alone. The idea that the physical is not to be just the exclusive thing that people are interested in. We have a physical need, but the spiritual things are what's to be emphasized. And Jesus pointed this out in John 6. John 26, 27, after he had fed the thousands with a few loaves and fishes, they're trying to find him. He slipped away from them. They locate him along the Sea of Galilee. And as they come to him, he says, you're not following me because for what I able to do through the signs and setting forth these truths to you. You follow me because of the fact that I fed you with a few loaves and fishes. You're seeking me for the physical, and I've got the spiritual, and that's far more important, the spiritual that you need. And he talks about my words that I, over in 63, verse 63, in this rather extended discourse that Jesus has, talking about being the bread of life and the teaching and instruction that he's giving to them. The words which I speak, they are life. The words which I speak, the teaching of God's word, that's the point of emphasis. That's the idea behind that. And there's this concept about, again, making some observations as it relates to the church and the obligations that the church is given, responsibilities. What's the focus? It's upon praising the Lord, teaching and encouraging one another, being built up in the most holy faith, coming to a fuller knowledge of his will so we can make that proper application in our life. You think about the reading that we had over in Psalm 19. What do you find there? The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. Now realize, here's the Old Testament scriptures describing this. To come to the New Testament, here's the gospel, that good news of Jesus Christ coming and dying for us. And now you have before us what he's done on our behalf and how we can be benefited by that. So what is going to be the practical implication of that? The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. It goes on to talk about the idea of sin and the knowledge of God's word to preclude us from sinning. And where we sin, we come a knowledge of that so we can make correction in our life. In verse 14, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. The law of the Lord, the teaching and proclamation of his truth. That's what only the Lord's church can offer the world. Others offer all kinds of things, sometimes in the name of religion. But the mission that is given to Christ's church, his people, is communicating his will, the proclamation of his truth. That's what it's all about. And we need to be appreciative of that mission and that responsibility and obligation. And how then, through that knowledge of truth, we can apply it to our lives so we can stand sanctified, justified, in a safe condition. And so we can bring others to that knowledge and understanding so they likewise can be in a right relationship with the Heavenly Father through Jesus Christ. Our purpose for the VBS, and there are things that we're given thoughtful consideration as to how to accomplish those ends. Again, it's a microcosm, if you will, if you take this 1 week, one aspect of it, and then look to see how that is incorporated into our activities and how it expresses the work of the church in the greater sense of what we find in Scripture. Let me notice a few things with you here from this thing. It's a family VBS, edification and outreach. There are two aspects to this. And the emphasis is on family. Why on family? Because the idea of family, the family unit, the family grouping, the purpose and desire for us to have families to be able to be present during the course of the week. I'll make a few additional observations. Edification, outreach, the family VBS. We named it that with that particular purpose in mind. Not just the VBS and the generic sense, but kind of the emphasis on family. So let me notice some things with you. All members able to assemble and participate. One thing that we desired was so that all the members, all of us, could set aside that time to be able to come. So we do it in the evening in order to be able to accommodate that. And to be able to assemble, to come together. And of course, the desire is for us, like in all aspects of the activities the church engages in, where the meeting, coming together, the desire is for all the members to avail themselves to that. We can't be benefited if we're not present. So we've, every year for the last, this will be our sixth one if I count it up correctly, we've set it up during that same point in time, immediately following when the schools in the area are out, that first week in June has typically been when we've done that. So we can kind of all recognize each year that's going to be the time frame. So we can have our calendars, you know, open so that we can be available. So we assemble, come together, and participation. One thing about the VBS is that there's a lot of individuals that need to participate for it to be able to be accomplishable. Gospel meetings are wonderful, and when we need gospel meetings, and I'm no way detracting from that. And we have gospel meetings in the spring and in the fall. And in the gospel meetings, there are those of our number who are involved in the singing, the prayers. We assemble together as we've done here. But it's more limited, just as a practical matter. We bring somebody in, they preach the gospel to us, and again, we're encouraged and strengthened by that. It's an outreach program as well, as well as being edified and built up ourselves. But the VBS involves a goodly amount of people in order for us to be able to do this. And I want to express appreciation for all those who are involved in various ways in preparation for the VBS and preparing materials, getting things lined up, the teachers, and then the auditorium. We have the songs being sung. We have individuals who do an invitation. And incidentally, trying to use some various ones this year to do the invitation that would fit into the categories, not of those that would fit maybe a little bit younger, but it kind of varies just as a practical matter in the invitation. But the encouragement that we can give. You see, we talk about this idea of encouraging the young, and the young can be a kind of a broader category, certainly the young and things. But that category of babes in Christ, even. What do we do to do this? Are we present? Do we come in and involved so we can encourage them? I don't think that's necessary. I don't feel that I need to be present. I don't need to be there. Well, you can't participate if we're not here. And there are varying ones participating in differing ways. The teachers, we have to have a number of teachers, just like in our Bible class settings. In order to do these things, we have to have this. So there's a work to be done, preparation to be accomplished, things to be set up, people to engage in the various things that are being done and accomplishable. And we're all benefited by that. I'm benefited when I see others as they grow spiritually and maturity and as they do more and more in their life. There are those that we begin to see involved in various ways, and it's something that really is a matter that ought to be recognized by us as a congregation as we see that type of development unfolding and being able to encourage it. Opportunity to invite others to attend. Well, like just any of these extracurricular things, by that I mean rather than our typical times of meeting, there are instances where people may not come. They say they've got their own religious activities going on, so therefore they can't avail themselves to. But now we have these extra activities, so we can invite people to come. And the idea of them coming and being able to involve themselves in that way in the teaching and their children to be able to go in. So we have these announcement sheets and flyers to hand out to people to let them know. Family members, friends, acquaintances, neighbors, those individuals that we work with, to distribute that. It's for that outreach, to be able to bring people in. It's for the purpose to not just edify us internally as a congregation, but also to evangelize, to reach out to them. And with these thoughts in mind, the purpose to build up the church people through numeric growth evangelism, and spiritual development, edification. So you start kind of analyzing this and assessing it. Look at these things like this. I go back to this idea of the family. Let me just talk a few more moments about some things involved with this and the idea of family. This is not to say that, if you have a young person coming, a child to come to the VBS, and the family doesn't come, that's fine. What we do not want is to have unsupervised children just running around. That's not beneficial or profitable for anybody. The objective here is if you want to bring a child, a neighborhood child or something, that's fine. But somebody needs to be kind of in a supervisory capacity to be able to do this. There's been some things. It's just kind of interesting and ironic in a way, listening to a sermon, totally separate from anything that I had, in doing this preparation, just here the other day, Nancy was looking at some places where we listen. She listens to some sermons from other locations. And so the person was talking about their VBS. And he was discussing their VBS. And their VBS is a daytime VBS and some things that are a little different from why we have it set up. But one thing he pointed out, even he says it's outreach, it's evangelism. He says, but what we don't want is people just dropping their kids off. So what we need to understand is that somebody needs to have some responsibility for these youngsters around so that they can be seen to. You don't want disruption. One of the things that's intriguing, going back to this idea of the church's work and how the church functions, there have been through the years all kinds of schemes and ideas about how we can grow. And ironically and sadly, it kind of is contrary to what the scriptures say is the real means of accomplishing this. So there comes these things where you've had these bus ministries. Bus ministries, you go through the neighborhoods, you gather up all these kids, they get on the bus, they bring them over here. We're going to introduce them to the Lord's church. We're going to introduce them to these. Coming into the classes are set up there. They go in, and then, generally speaking, in order to entice them to get on, you provide them with certain things like some refreshments at the building. You give them some things so that they'll remember that and want to get on the bus the next week. And what they discovered is the parents were just glad to send them out there and hop on that bus so they could sleep in. Somebody's going to take care of them, so it comes a babysitting kind of arrangement. And the idea that somehow or other that reaches out and these parents begin to become interested, they've discovered that really wasn't the case. And then they just found that there were other problems that began to arise. They had a bunch of unchaperoned children, little ones running around with nobody to see to them. So they had to come up with an alternative. And then you start seeing as it evolved, we're going to have a children's worship. What's a children's worship? Well, you have certain people responsible to take these unsupervised youngsters. You take them to a special room. And while the worship is going on so they don't disrupt the services, you have them set over here in this arrangement and seen to, babysit. But you talk to them and you have songs, you do other things simultaneous to the worship service period of time. Everything comes along. What's the underlying issue here or problem? The underlying issue is that we fail to appreciate what the objective is and the ultimate goal, and that's to teach people the word. That's true. But when you have youngsters, and we need to be bringing our children, we don't have a place to take a nursery that somebody is trained to take care of the nursery. Our parents take care of their kids. That's the way it should be. Growing up, one of the things Nancy, when I'm up here preaching and Nancy was dealing with three children, you know, I couldn't devote too much time to that part of the arrangement at that point, but Nancy would have to take them out, see to them, get them back, teach them, train them to sit, to maybe have some things to kind of help them with, keep themselves occupied during the time. And some children are going to be a little more challenged than others. But our objective is to have a gathering, and our children learn early in life that we're together in order to worship our Lord, and that we can be benefited. And very early on, children can learn about discipline and responsibilities. They can start listening. When they start getting older, they need to be thinking about listening to what's being said. And you parents, when you take your kids and begin to talk to them when they get old enough, well, what happened during services? What can we do to kind of discuss that? What's going on in the services? What did you learn? By the way, just as an aside, Connie Adams was holding a gospel meeting in Kansas City when we were expecting our first child. And I was preaching for that congregation then. And Connie Adams gave us some advice with the doing this. Of course, he had already had some experience himself. So he shared with us this situation when he talked about getting up and preaching and his wife having to take care of their children. There was an understanding that he told his kids, if your mother has to take you out and spank you, when we get home, I'm going to take you and spank you because I can't take time when I'm preaching to do it. But you need to understand, you misbehave in services, it's not just your mother, but I'm going to take care of that matter. So we kind of instilled that in our children, that this was going to be something that happens. You can't just be disruptive. Now, again, little ones, we understand all this. We have a place for take care of them. What's needful, bring them back. If there's some children having some additional issues, we understand that. But I don't want us to feel like we're going to have some special place and you're going to sit all day long or all the period of time back in there and do other things and have the children think that it's playtime. That's not the way or manner in which we want people to be raised or understand what's right and proper. That's part of the training that needs to be done and recognized as we go through this. So our VBS is designed with the idea of bringing people in, sure. But with the understanding that it's to teach God's Word so we can know what we need to do, both be built up as a congregation, and to reach out to others so that they can know these truths and make that application in their life. It's a tool and a means to help accomplish that. One of several that we as a congregation need to do. Not entertainment, not social, but having to do with the proclamation of God's holy and divine Word. That's the objective. And there were goals that were set forth for us as we looked at that initially in order to accomplish those. So we need to avail ourselves and we need to be involved in various ways and differing aspects. If nothing else, being present and inviting others to come. And the outreach that's going on. And again, brings people with you. That's wonderful and great and marvelous and kind of situation how to accomplish these things in a productive manner, in a constructive way. Well, that's the lesson. And I said, kind of look at these things. Our VBS is something that we've done for several years and feel that there's been a good deal of that's been accomplished positively. But that really goes back to the purpose behind it. When you teach God's Word, and that's the emphasis, good is always going to be accomplished. It's the inevitable consequence of that because the Lord has set that forth, and His Word being communicated tells us how we are to live, what we need to do to be right with Him, and how to serve Him pleasingly in this life. We're about to sing a song of encouragement. And if you're subject in any way to the Lord's invitation, we give you the opportunity to be baptized for remission of your sins, or having done that and you haven't lived as you should, there's something amiss in your life and you want the prayers of the congregation or encouragement of any variety, we stand ready to assist you in that. Simply come forward and make that request known as together we stand and sing.